The bullets were whistling about like hail. I seemed to wear a charmed life, and the bullet was not yet made that could hit me. But I was soon undeceived. I had not gotten back much over 2 rods when I felt something strike my left knee. As we were in the woods and I thought a bullet had struck a chip and that the chip had hit me on the knee, when I looked at my knee, I saw a bullet hole in my pants. I had not gone over 5 steps when I felt a similar sensation in my other knee. This one had cut a little deeper, which I discovered by pulling up my leg. I was between 2 brush piles as we were passing out of the woods.
After David was hit the second time, he went over the brush pile and towards the enemy into an open field. It was a very hot place as he was under 2 crossfires and a good fire from the rear. Both balls that hit him were from the crossfire. There was a battery about 300 or 400 yards in the rear on what they later called Barlow's Knoll. It was at this place that they were ordered to fall back. David expected they would fall back and there make a stand. But as soon as he got out of the woods, he saw the battery was limbering up and was retiring. David later wrote down what he saw.
I witnessed an instance of brave conduct, of which I am possibly the only witness living. In the first day's fight on the Little Knoll, the overwhelming rebel forces, as all know, drove our comparatively thin line back. I lay on the ground at the extreme right of the line with a bullet wound through my knee joint. I remember watching with mingled apprehension and pride the stubborn retreat of our regiment. After the main body of soldiers had gone back about 100 yards, I saw Captain Howard Reedy of Company G standing not 10 feet away. He was deliberately discharging his revolver into the ranks of the onrushing rebels. He then turned and ran. I wondered to myself how he ever got away without being killed. It was a miracle, as the rebels could not have been more than 15 feet from him. This was certainly not the deed of the type of leader that orders his men not go forward here and there, but come along with me, boys.
The troops were driven back for 2 miles. After David and a few men got into the open field and took that way out, their right was now their left in retiring. David saw a long line of the enemy closing in on the right, or what had been the right in advancing. This line of battle, over 1 mile long, was closing in on him like a gate. By the time the troops had gotten on Barlow's Knoll, he had worked himself along in a straight line with the red barn at the Alms House. To his right, the troops were dropping like flies, and to his left was that solid line advancing and firing. David later wrote in his diary,
"I recollect many things about the boys. At Gettysburg during the first day's fighting, Comrade Philip Halpin was killed between the Alms House Barlow's Knoll. I knew Sergeant Edward Kiefer. He always looked out for us in dealing out the bread."
David was at all time less than 100 yards from the rebel line. He passed along their front for nearly 1 mile till he got to the red barn. Long before he got to the barn, he could hear the voice of General von Gilsa, who was dismounted. A bay horse came along the line with saddle and bridle on. The general called to the men,
"Catch my horse!"
Which was soon surrounded, and the general was in his saddle in less than 1 minute. By the twitches of the horse's tail, the old man must have been tickling the horse with his spurs. It did not take him long to form a line of battle about halfway between their first position in the town. He rode up and down that line through a regular storm of lead. Meantime, using the German epithet so common to him, David could hear the words,
"Rally, boys! Rally, boys!"
Today I saw Big Joe Buck, the best fiddler in the company, get killed near Barlow's Knoll in the extreme front position our regiment had taken at Gettysburg. I saw where 18 bodies were buried in 1 grave at that spot. These bodies, along with all that could be located elsewhere over the field, were taken and buried. All the bodies that could not be identified were placed in tiers of the plot with a special marker. And I'm sure Joe Buck is playing a gig in the grave of the unknown.
The line was ordered to fall back. David followed orders, but this still left him and his men between two fires. He finally got to the red barn where the highest post fence he had ever seen confronted them. Joining the other men, he threw his gun over and then commenced to climb it. But it was quite a job to get over that fence with his wounds and lame leg. How David would have liked to have entered the barn for a rest. But he knew he must move or be taken prisoner. When David got around the barn, he met Captain Howell and Lieutenant Walton of Company H, both members of his regiment. Howell took him by the left arm and Walton by the right, which was a great improvement. He felt very much pleased with the escort, but it did not last long. Suddenly, the captain stumbled and stated that he had been wounded. Just a second later, the lieutenant fell from a wound and came near dragging David with him. Walton was a large man, weighing about 240 pounds. Barnes and Brendelman tried to lift Walton into a window, and being very heavy, they could not lift him. They pressed two big privates into the service, and David kept on as the enemy was only about 50 yards behind us. After this, he met Freddy. A piece of shell had struck his kneecap, and he was quite lame. About this time, Sergeant Kiefer of David's company reported the woods in front of them was being massed with men behind the thickets, making ready for a charge. He told him it was useless, as the force was a heavy one. David then happened to look up and asked him,
"Where's our battle line?"
He looked around and remarked,
"It's gone. Get yourselves out best you can. Report at Cemetery Hill."
Then all the men quickly got out of the dangerous spot. Some men in the skirmish line fired, then fell back the usual distance, loading as they went. Then they halted and fired again. And at the command, they retreated on the double quick, only to get backshot by the rushing Confederate soldiers. General Von Silsa was standing a short distance up the slope, commanding.
"Cease firing! They are our friends!"
David ran up to him and said,
"No, General. They are the enemy, and they are charging in two lines.